To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep. And four different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Some great questions this week, one about working with a shy child, and a question about inappropriate or unwanted touching among minors. So if your child is old enough to understand and you aren't sure if it's a topic you want your child to hear from the podcast, but prefer to talk about parent to child directly after the podcast or at a different time, I would recommend listening to the second half when you can have some alone time or while using headphones. But before I get to the questions, just an update on our family health situation, because the saga continues. Now, I had to take my husband, okay, I insisted on taking my husband to the ER last week because he was getting worse. I wanted to take him last Tuesday evening, but he refused. He thought they would just tell him to drink more fluids and go home and rest, which I totally understood. But I told him if he weren't getting any better by Wednesday morning, I was taking him to the ER. Well, to make a long story short, it turns out that he was not doing better, and we took him in, and he had, and still has, bilateral pneumonia. They kept him for 2 nights. He's still very tired and weak, but he is slowly recovering. So I've been a single mom going on 12 days now. So I taught my kids how to properly fold and put away their own laundry. Now, they've been putting their laundry away, but they don't always do a great job. But I said, this is the time. You guys need to do this. I'm done folding laundry for you. We're done folding laundry for you. You guys need to step up here. So this is one of their new responsibilities, and it was about time anyway. If they're capable, I say it should be theirs. But I'm ready for a week on a deserted tropical beach right about now. Who wants to go with me? I don't even mind my kids coming, just so long as I don't have to cook for anyone or wake anyone up for school or remind them to do their homework and on and on. Maybe a resort with a kids club so they can go do their kid things and I can go lay on the beach and do my adult things like sleep on a lounge chair. Oh, parent life is so exciting. The extravagant things we dream about. Naps on a chair. Okay. Anyway, to get to the first question, Noen asks, Dear Erin, first of all, I would like to say thank you for your podcast. Thanks to it, I have discovered the whole new world about discipline and adapt this to my daily life with my 5-year-old little girl. She is very sensitive, kind, and expressive. But my concern lately is that she's still shy in front of the class or other strangers, even her fellows in her class, in a way that it takes such a time to get to know a new group or a new adult. I intend to take her to more extra classes such as music, drawing, or dancing on weekends and hope that this would help her build more confidence and gain more skill. Do you have any other suggestions? Moreover, she knows how to share stuff with friends and be kind with them in their play, but sometimes the other kids are rude. They isolate her when they tell the other kids not to play with her, or those kids are not willing to share back, or sometimes they're unreasonable, especially for younger kids, when playing. Like yesterday, we went to my niece and nephew's birthday. The niece was not willing to share with her and didn't let her touch anything but didn't give any reasons. And this made my daughter very upset and cry, and she told me she wanted to be alone and asked me to talk to the other kids for her. I told her we could both go talking to the kids, but that girl didn't want to talk. This upset my daughter more, and I was a little bit confused on what to do. I know I have to show empathy, but I need your advice on how to better I can do to help my daughter in these situations. One more thing. I am from Vietnam, and I really appreciate it if you'd add the transcripts in for every podcast like you used to do on your website. It helps me a lot to follow it. Thank you, Erin, for the great work and the podcast itself. So first, Nguyen, I did let my web designer know to be sure to add the transcripts for any missing episodes that we didn't do. And she did stop doing that for some reason. So she's going to get back to that. She's going to go back and replace those. So also continuing forward, we will be putting up the transcript. So let me know if there's something out there that you don't find a transcript for, what episode, and we'll be sure to get that up. And you can check out the individual podcast episode pages on the website at yourvillageonline.com/podcast. And then on each individual page, you'll find the transcripts for the episode, for that episode. So now let's talk about shyness, what it is, why it happens, and how Nguyen can work with her daughter to help support her in getting her needs met, and therefore overcoming the shyness as much as possible. So shyness is exhibiting timidity or a lack of courage or confidence around other people. This is different than being introverted, although they can overlap and most often do. People can have both traits, but being shy is not being introverted, or people who are introverted are not necessarily shy. Introversion is a comfort level or energy level around others. Introverts prefer smaller, more intimate functions and generally find big crowds overwhelming, whereas shyness tends to be more about a lack of confidence. Now, I was very shy as a child, so I can relate to this. Scientists are still studying these types of personality traits and where they come from. Some of it is cultural, societal, and some of it is likely genetic as well. Now, I know in my case, it was probably somewhat just who I was, but also my abusive childhood definitely undermined my self-esteem and added to my lack of confidence and therefore attributed to some of my shyness on top of already being a shy type of person. Now, also, in pretty much every society today, women and girls are not as valued, and the messages do get through early and often, no matter how hard we try to deflect them. They're pretty pervasive, so this can contribute to girls being more shy as well. Now, when I was a kid, my shyness came in a lot at school. I was always afraid to raise my hand to ask a question or share an idea. I was always afraid it would look stupid. It was a stupid question or a stupid idea, and other kids would laugh or think I was stupid. So I would just stay quiet and hope someone else would ask the same question I had. So while being introverted is just a different way of approaching the world and a different comfort level in certain situations, being shy can actually be a hindrance to success socially, academically, and professionally. So it is important to work with our shy kids to help them develop skills so this doesn't hinder their success in life. If they feel like they have a question they'd like to ask, they need to have the confidence to ask that question. If they're at a job and they feel like they deserve a raise, they need to be able to go in and ask for that raise and give the reasons why. This is different than being introverted. An introvert may have no issue going into their boss and saying, I deserve a raise and here's why, but then just doesn't like a big party with a bunch of strangers. So these are different things. Now, chances are a shy child will never become a gregarious and outrageously outgoing person, and that's okay. That's not the goal. The goal is to help the child have the confidence they need to seek assistance when warranted, to ask questions, and to share their ideas, because when they don't, they aren't the only ones who miss out. We all do. So here are some tips in general for working with shy kids, and then I'll apply them and any other pointers to Nguyen's incident that she shared with us. When you have a shy child, you want to do whatever you can to ease them into any new situation. So if you're going to a birthday party, a family gathering, a playgroup, a school, a new activity, Nguyen, like you mentioned, you want to arrive early so that the child has the chance to warm up slowly to new people. If they're one of the first kids at the new dance class, then they get to meet the teacher first without other kids around, or the teacher and maybe one other kid. They get a few minutes to get comfortable before another child arrives, and then another, and another. Or the same with family. They get to get comfortable with a few family members at a time. If you're one of the later ones to show up, then it can be very overwhelming entering a room full of strangers or even acquaintances. Now, if it's a situation like a new school or a new activity, also you can visit the school or the facility ahead of time when it's relatively empty. Get a tour and meet the teacher. And this gives your child a chance to warm up to the environment and the teacher beforehand and know the teacher once they go in for that first class session. Also, you can set up playdates one-on-one with one of the children from their school or from their activity if you can. If you know of anyone in their school, in their class, or in their activity beforehand, you could have 2 to 3 playdates with this child before starting the school or activity. This way, she or he has at least 1 to 2 familiar faces, the teacher, and one other student. You want to teach, guide, and help your shy child join other kids in ongoing play. Walk over with your child, encourage her to share her name. Now, likely she or he will not, but you want to encourage him or her to do it. And then if they don't, you want to go ahead and model the behavior you would like to see. So you would introduce your child for them. Hi, this is Ellie. What's your name? And then how you would want your child to respond. Hi, Ava. It's nice to meet you. It looks like you're building a castle. Ellie likes to build castles too. What can Ellie do to help you build it? Now, this is a big tip for any kid joining in on play. You don't want to teach them to say, "Can I play?" because that easily invites a no. The kids are already engaged in play and working together and aren't trying to be exclusive, but their minds aren't considering what someone else can fit in. So if a kid says, "Can I play with you?" no is a pretty common and first response to this question. So we want to teach kids to say, "How can I help you? What can I do?" Because this immediately gets the kids thinking about that. How can this person help? What can she do to join in? This is part of the social skills development, which I cover more in depth in the class on Your Developing Toddler and the Your Developing Preschooler class, which is coming out later this week now that my family's getting healed up. It covers how to enter ongoing play, how to learn to share and take turns, how to teach your toddler and preschooler problem-solving skills when they struggle with a playmate. So for more on these skills, be sure to check out those classes on the website at yourvillageonline.com under the Health and Development menu. I also recommend the class on self-esteem, either the one for newborn through age 5 or for 5 and over, and that is also under the Health and Development menu. Now next, I'm going to get to how Nguyen can work with her daughter if or when she encounters a similar situation the next time.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken-down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Now that we're back from the break, I'm going to finish answering Dwen's problem about helping her shy daughter. So for this particular situation, I think she handled it really well. It was perfect to say that you should both go talk with the other child so that you can model for your daughter how to communicate well and get her needs met. If I'm understanding correctly, when you approached the other girl, she didn't want to talk though. Now, I'm not sure how old this other child is. At first, I was assuming she was close to your daughter's age, but that isn't actually specified. So if the child is younger, 3 or under, kids in this age group are not good at sharing yet. This is difficult for them and takes some work and practice. Even kids who are 4, if they haven't had some help and guidance with sharing, they can still struggle with it. So this could very well be the case here. I'm not sure. I'm also not sure if this girl is your niece or someone you didn't know very well, and this can be a tough situation because the truth is we have no control or jurisdiction over other people's kids. So if they don't want to talk or participate, there's not much you can do to change that. So the best you can do is use it as a teaching moment for your child. Use it to teach your daughter that we don't have control over how other people behave. If the child is younger, you can let her know that younger kids have a hard time with sharing and that in time he or she will most likely become much better at it, so to be patient. If the child is older but still isn't good at sharing, now we have some 7-year-olds in our neighborhood where this is the case. But by 5, especially by 6, most kids should be pretty good at sharing and taking turns, if that's been the expectation for them and if they've gotten some help with that. So if this is an older child, you can also share that some people are really friendly, helpful, and good at sharing, and others struggle with it more and they're not quite as good. If someone isn't playing the way that makes us feel good, then we don't need to play with them and we can find someone else who's good at playing the way we like to and enjoy. This could be with peers at school or at a party or any situation like that. The other lesson is that it gives an opportunity for us to talk about how important it is to be one of the helpful, kind people who share because of how it feels to be on the other end when someone isn't kind to us. Now, the only other thing you could also do, if this is a child you know well and you know the parent well enough and are comfortable approaching that parent, is to let the parent know that your daughter would like to play with her and the toys too, and that you could use some help with getting the girls to communicate and play better together. As with any of these new subjects, once again, this is a class I have very much wanted to create for some time now, helping the shy child, because it's such an important thing to help shy children get beyond their shyness at times when they need to, and to have the tools so that they can ask questions they need to ask, so they can join children in other play if they would like to, and to build some confidence in these areas. So this is on my list. But as with any small business, I spend more time doing other tasks, mostly marketing, but accounting and whatnot, that it takes time away from what I love to do, which is to help parents by answering questions and creating more great classes. But I do have these classes on my list. I have outlines for a lot of them, so I am going to get my way through a lot of these in the next few months. Now, for our next question, and again, a reminder, it is about inappropriate and unwanted touching. So if this is a subject you want to discuss with your child personally in your own way, you'll want to listen to this when your child is not around or with headphones. Now, I will say that this content is certainly appropriate and acceptable for a child 5, 6 or older to hear, and you can use it as a launching pad for discussion. It's still a topic for discussion with younger kids, but preschoolers and younger won't really understand this material, especially in its context. But I want to give this information for parents to decide when and how to discuss these topics with their children. So this question is a bit long because of the detail, so I'll try to cut it down, and if I can omit anything that isn't as pertinent to the details or the question. Now, Rachel says, "Hi, Erin. I had an urgent, life-changing incident happen to my 8-year-old daughter. My question to you is, did I handle this right, or do I need to go further into it with her? Her 12-year-old cousin, a boy, asked her to touch his private area. I found out because everyone had left the house and I was sitting downstairs with my husband and aunt talking. My son, who is 10, and daughter were in his room by themselves, which is usual because he has all the toys and video games. They come downstairs and I could see on my daughter's face she was hiding something from me, so I asked her in front of my son and her cousin, is there anything wrong? And she looked at her cousin and said, no, nothing. So I knew as a mom something happened, and I'm not sure how, but I felt that it was sexual. We said our goodbyes and I walked outside and I took her aside and I said, do you have anything to tell mommy? And she said, no, mom. Again, I said, mommy needs you to be honest with me. And I asked her, did something happen in his room? And she said, I don't want him to be in trouble. I told her, I need you to be honest with me right now so I can help you and help your cousin. What happened? She then went on to say that her cousin asked her to touch his penis and she had said no 5 times and he kept asking, and so she did. I told her she is so brave to tell me, and thank you for telling me the truth. I was absolutely shocked. I told her to wait, and I went back inside to talk to his mom and to him. He cried his eyes out and admitted everything and came to find out he never had been talked to about sex and the feelings he's feeling right now for a 12-year-old. After he explained the story, he said out loud, I did something very, very bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He felt and looked very remorseful, and then I told him, what you're going through is normal feelings for a boy your age, but what you did to my daughter is not okay, especially when she said no to you 5 times and she asked you to stop. What you do in private is your business, but when you involve a younger girl, it's not okay. You did not respect her when she said no, and this is not the way to handle what you're feeling. After this, I told him I'm bringing my daughter inside and I want you to apologize to her. We brought her inside and he did apologize. I turned to my daughter and I said, this is not your fault. And next time something like this happens, I need you to tell me right away. After he asked you the first time and you said no, you should come to me. She then said, I'm sorry. And I said, there's nothing to be sorry about. I told her we'll talk more about this, but I wanted you to hear from your cousin that what he did was wrong. I talked to my daughter that night, asked if she had any questions, then talked to her about anything she felt and if she had questions, and she said no. I then told her to promise me that she would always come to me or tell me if something like this happened again. I told her I'm proud of her, that she said no in the beginning. She is acting normal and hasn't brought it up. I also talked to my 10-year-old son about being on alert when these things are happening if someone is telling you to turn around and look away, and that he should protect her, but that it wasn't his fault. I'm very emotional about this, but hiding it from my daughter, and I really respect your guidance. So I wrote back to Rachel right away, and I let her know that I don't usually answer these questions right away. I usually schedule them for the podcast and let people know when they're on the schedule so that they can listen to the answer on the podcast. But given the nature of the concern and how understandably agitated and upset she was feeling, I wanted to get back to her as quickly as possible. Also because I had something like this very similar happen to me when I was 4. So it really resonated with me, and I wanted to get back to her with an answer about it. So It was a very similar situation with me. It was a multiple no's from me and continued coercion from the perpetrator. In my case, it was a 14-year-old boy. And he had exposed himself to me and appeared intent on getting some sort of attention from me before he would leave me alone. And so, like Rachel's daughter, I gave in to his request to get him to leave me alone. He had blocked me in the bathroom where he had walked in while I was going to the bathroom. I let Rachel know that I think she handled this amazingly well. I was so impressed that she went back in and talked to the mom with the boy, and I think she taught everyone a lot. And I know I shouldn't be shocked, but I am, that no one has ever talked to this boy about sex or sexuality at all. And frankly, I find it really upsetting. It's such an important part of parenting. I know it's an uncomfortable subject for a lot of people, but no one does anyone a favor, boys or girls, our future men and women, when they don't make sex an open topic for discussion. So the fact that she was able to go help open up that conversation for everyone is huge. And she should be extremely proud of herself. I would say that everything she did for her daughter was huge. I think it's incredible that she was able to read her daughter and know something was up immediately. And she was so tuned into the nature of the incident and was able to help her right away. I also want to talk about consent here. It's not just sex and sexuality. We want to talk about consent with everyone, with our girls, but it's not just up to our girls to say no. It's up to our boys to know what no means. And no means no. Stop. Don't go any further. It's really, really important. It's important for both sexes, genders, to know this, that no means no. No means I'm not interested. And you don't want to have any kind of sexual encounter with a partner who is not interested. Now, this type of consent starts really early. I've talked about it in other podcasts before. Just when it comes to play, when it comes to tickling, when it comes to wrestling, when it comes to, you know, do you want to play this game or can I give you a hug? And kids say, no, I don't want to play that. No, I don't want to be touched right now. No, I don't want a hug right now. No, I don't want to kiss right now. You know, my kids will start wrestling and touching each other. And when one kid says stop or one kid says no, and if I hear a no a second time, I am in there so fast on top of the kid who's pushed back and tried to get or coerce another child. It's just wrestling. It's not sexual, but a no is a no. My body is mine. And if I don't want to be hugged or touched or wrestled or tickled or anything else, you need to stop immediately. And it starts with this type of talks with our kids. Very, very important. Now, I've put together a list of books for talking with kids about sex, sexuality, and consent at different ages, starting at 4 and going up to around 12 or 13. There are even more resources for older kids as well. So if you have kids 14 and up and are struggling with how to talk with them and answering their questions or wanting resources for them to read, you can send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com and I can give additional resources to parents of older kids. Now, to get the list of books, you can go to yourvillageonline.com/podcast/books-about-sexuality. Now, there's a dash between those three words, between books-about-sexuality. So yourvillageonline.com/podcast/books-about-sexuality. These discussions and books are important to read with the kids as they age, so you keep this discussion open. Now, for Rachel, I also let her know that it's fine to just let this gel for now and know that she handled it extremely well because she was asking if she should go back and readdress it with her daughter or ask any more questions. Then just leave it open to answer any questions she has if she comes to you or wants to share any feelings if anything else comes up. But then you can keep bringing it up, not the incident necessarily, but the topics of sex, consent, romance, dating, sexuality, etc. over the coming months and years. Talking about consent, what it is, what it means, and how she can handle it. Unfortunately, this means talking to our kids, especially our girls, about how they need to be careful. It's unfortunate, but as a girl, as a female, she's going to have to be on the defensive. And boys get violated as well. So it's not about it. So you still can talk to your boys about it, but it does happen more to girls. Very, very important to talk to everybody about how to protect themselves. Unfortunately, this will probably not be the last time someone at best tries and at worst succeeds in crossing her boundaries. Also, I let Rachel know that if she's struggling to talk to a friend, to go to a therapy session, to unload, whatever will help her work through those emotions that are coming up. It's scary to think that we won't always be there to protect our daughters or our sons and be made all too aware of the things that they will come up against. The best we can do is arm them to be ready, which is exactly what Rachel did. Empower them to say no. And unfortunately, we need to teach them to be on the defensive. I wish the world weren't this way, but it is. We do have to teach our kids, especially our girls, to pay attention as they walk to their cars at night, not to run alone after dark on dark paths or unlit streets, to watch their drinks at bars or parties. This is when they're older, of course, not at 8. The list goes on and on. None of this means they deserve anything that happens to them if they're ever assaulted. But it is the life of being a woman, especially right now. We also teach our boys about consent, how anything less than an enthusiastic yes is a no. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.